Thanks for listening to The Drive on Demand, presented by Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment.
Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766.
Or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus, D-Mac, and Nick Ferguson.
It's all about Drew Lock. What's the status, Coach? Oh, hold on.
Plug it in. Got it.
What's the
push the cord in there.
What's the status, Coach?
He's going to start practicing.
Reps?
We're trying to get him as many as we can. You know, some of that will be scout team, too. Got to remember, this guy hadn't taken a snap, been in a huddle since the middle of August or early August.
To be a backup?
No, it's not mapped out because it's going to be determined by how he looks and what we think.
Huh. Is he going to come off of IR?
Well, he'll be determined as one of the two that we can bring off IR.
Ah.
That doesn't mean that he'll be activated.
And what do you need to see?
Good quarterback play that he belongs.
I'm convinced.
What are you convinced of?
I'm convinced that Drew Lock was never Vic Fangio's guy.
Yeah, it feels like that, doesn't it?
I'm convinced that it was just throwing down his throat at this point.
Yep.
I mean, any coach that believed in a player that he selected, they've got motivation to get him on the field. Human beings have, we've got pride, right? And we've got reasons why we like to be right. And so we try to make ourselves right. Every time I get in an argument with you guys, it's because it's fun to be right, you know? I think that at this point, it's very clear that he has no motivation whatsoever. And if there's no motivation whatsoever, that could only be true if he wasn't your guy.
Yeah. And that's I would have to say, D-Mac, that's very tough to be a head coach and know that you have to suffer through having Garrett Bowles forced down your throat consistently. Drew Lock in this situation, a guy that you did not want forced down your throat. And then knowing as though the first three draft choice of 2019 were all offensive guys, and you are a defensive guru with over four decades in
the
NFL.
With who on the board?
Yes.
With Bush on the board,
with Bush,
right?
On the board.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, how disappointing and upset do you have to be if you are Vic Fangio, knowing that every single week we had to watch him go out and try to explain the whole Garrett Bowles situation. Now he's trying to manage the whole Drew Lock issue.
We have seen this before. And it is the week of Gary Kubiak. Welcome to it, Gary Kubiak week.
But thank you, Coach.
We saw it with Paxton Lynch and Gary Kubiak. Who here thinks Paxton Lynch was Gary Kubiak's selection? Please, give me a break. And we saw the biggest proof in that pudding was against the Raiders when the Broncos were already out of the playoffs.
It was the exact same thing as right now, if you think about it.
They were 8-7. Imagine that. 8-7, but the season's over because you lost to got humiliated by the Chiefs, the Christmas night massacre. And then there was no reason not to play Paxton Lynch the entire game. And so what does Kubiak say? Well, in the beginning of the week, he's like, well, we'll play them both. You know, you could tell he was just pulling teeth. They're winning 17-0 at halftime. Okay. 17-0 at halftime. All right. We'll see Paxton here. No. No, we're going to see Trevor Siemian play in the second half. They get another touchdown. 24-0. And no Paxton Lynch. And it was the biggest middle finger I could ever imagine a coach who knew he was leaving. Because we know now that he had told Elway a week before that he was leaving. And we also know Elway wasn't interested in hiring any of his offensive staff. We know that, too. The biggest middle finger you can ever imagine was from Gary Kubiak to the Broncos personnel department. And the fact that Kubes was able to maintain a relationship with the Broncos at all after that and John Elway just it boggles me. It boggles my mind. I mean, I cannot believe Elway didn't run down and insist that Paxton Lynch get out on the field.
Well,
and this feels like, hey, man, I think you brought up a good point. It feels like that all over again.
What is different in this situation, if you really think about it, outside of the fact that that was the final game of the year, and we've got half a season to play yet. Really, what is the difference? It's still the high draft pick. The season is still all but over. And look, I've got reasons for optimism. I'm actually really excited about this week. I'm excited about the Vikings game. I'm excited about watching Brandon Allen on the road. There's a lot of things to be optimistic about. But the reality is the situation of where we are at as a football team, if anything, it is more clear right now than it was when we were playing Oakland and we just wanted to get a few reps for Paxton Lynch. So to me, yes, it feels like Vic Fangio never was behind Drew Locke, and he's coming up with every reason in the book to not play him.
Here's what he's saying about it.
Our whole focus is trying to get to 4-6. As bad as that sounds, we're trying to win the game we play this week. Whether that includes or doesn't include Drew down the road, you know, remains to be seen.
This is insane.
So I actually believe that, D-Mac and Nick.
I believe it, too.
I believe that. But the craziest part about it is what you were saying right there is that your second-round draft pick, who was a high second-round draft pick, he is not your best option to get you to 4-6.
Right.
Think about that.
That's a trip.
The joy of that, it's laughable to think that here you have Drew Locke as your second round pick, and you've been leapfrogged by a guy who came outside of the building. You've been leapfrogged by a guy who was on the practice squad, right? And that's something that he definitely, if you're Drew Locke, you have to sit with that. You really have to think about that. What is it that they're saying about you? They're telling you what they think about you as a quarterback. And your head coach doesn't have enough belief in you. Yes, you'll be on scout team, but he has to prove that he's a quarterback.
It is amazing that today the message wasn't, here's our plan for Drew. Period.
Thank you.
We're going to get him 2 weeks of practice, and absolutely, we've got that Chargers game circled for Drew Locke to start.
And he's getting 3 reps per period for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's only one way we're going to get him ready, and that's to practice him, and that's what we'll be doing. And we're going to try to win these games, but we know where we're at right now. Instead, you get this mealy mouth, I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe we'll do this. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll change our practices. Maybe we won't. Because all that matters. All that matters is going to 4-6? Oh my God. It's so backwards sometimes in football. It drives me nuts. I mean, it's insane. It really is crazy talk. And the reason why is everybody is terrified about their jobs and they're desperate. And this is how you operate. And you don't get the right messages from management. The message from management should be lock as at this date, here it goes. And so what if everybody knows? Everybody should know. It'd be a hell of a lot easier as a player to prepare for that and know what's going on than sitting around like, I don't know what's going to happen. The injury report is brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law. The biggest news, aside from Drew Locke coming back, Bryce Callahan may practice this week. And so that was kind of a surprise. No notes on Juwan James. Nobody really knows what he's going to do. When we come back, Gary Kubiak week. And our guy, Mike Kliss, asked the question of the press conference and put Vic Fangio on the spot. You'll hear it next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's a Reaction Monday, presented by First Bank. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis, Nick Ferguson, and D-Mac.
We are so grateful for all of our veterans. Happy Veterans Day. My dad was a lieutenant in the Army, and he was a lieutenant at a very interesting time, right between Korea and Vietnam. So he didn't have to go overseas, but he ran a bookstore and got really good at golf, and he loved his time in the Army, and he dated Suzanne Plachette, who was the actress on the Bob Newhart show.
Oh, there you go.
Really?
That is all true.
All right.
That was his time in the Army that I've heard stories about.
Love the Newhart show.
Yeah, and he was Suzanne Plachette. She was an up-and-coming actress, and He was stationed near New York, and she was an actress in Manhattan, and there you go.
All right, Pops.
Yeah. But it's definitely a special day.
What, your mom wasn't cool or what?
My mom is 10 years younger than my dad, so.
Hey. Oh,
so,
okay.
All right, playboy.
My dad had a run before he met mom, and they met when he was 30 and she was 20.
Wow.
And they were married a year later and had a kid a year later than that.
Had little old D-Mac, like, huh? Yes.
Yeah, dad had a run.
Wait a minute, so does that mean that you have some of that suave and sophistication that your father
skipped a generation, and it went down to my younger son, who was utilizing that this particular weekend, actually. But no, I did not have the... my dad was Division I hockey and baseball player at Northeastern, both sports. Was in ROTC, was a lieutenant in the Army, was single until he was 30 years old, which at the time was, kind of a, he was an older guy to be single back in that period of time.
Gigolo.
And my dad had some fun. No doubt. He lived in San Francisco when he got out of the Army, worked for Standard Oil, was a single guy out in the Bay Area for a little bit. He had a good time, my dad. And then he met mom.
It's safe to say that he had a full life, didn't he?
He had a full life.
Yes.
Yes, he did. He's a great man. And just a shout out to all the vets.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, I mean, listen, I've got multiple family members that are deserving of specific shout outs, multiple friends. But this is an important day in America. And worthy of being celebrated.
Yeah, my grandfather was in the Navy, had an uncle who was spent some time in the Army, a couple of friends in the Army now, and I just think about how our lives went in different directions, and, I mean, I went on to go to college and play football, but, I mean, they have one of the toughest jobs around, and I know when we look at football players, we always talk about warriors, and it's a war of attrition, but, man, those individuals lay it on the line every single day, so... I'm happy for, my grandfather, my uncle, your members and your family who served this country.
So. Yeah, it's a cool day. So, right on. In terms of today, Mike Kliss threw this one out at Coach Fangio.
Going back to when you got this job.
Boy, you're building up to a big one here. I can see it.
Early January, did you think Jerry Kubiak was your offensive coordinator at that time?
No. We had said that we would talk, and that was the extent of it at that time, yeah.
And the follow-up question is, well, I guess it just didn't work out?
And it just didn't work out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you guys really think happened?
Well, first off, mm-hmm. I mean...
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when you were told that if you take the head coaching job, Gary Kubiak is going to be your offensive coordinator? That would have been an even more accurate way of asking that question, would it not?
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, Adam Schefter reported it. We talk about it all the time that Adam Schefter, when he reports something, it's as good as gold to me. It's a done deal. He reported that Gary Kubiak will return as a coach for the Denver Broncos. And I do believe that Vic Fangio took this job understanding that, look, maybe he wasn't told that Gary Kubiak has to be your offensive coordinator, but certainly there was a strong nudge, right? And what do I think happened? I think that Vic Fangio sat in a room with Gary Kubiak and realized there is no possible way I can coach this football team with the Super Bowl winning coach hovering over my shoulder as my offensive coordinator when he's got his own guys that are still on this team. That's what I think happened. And I think Vic Fangio wisely, to be totally honest with you, nothing to do with Gary Kubiak. Obviously, I love Gary Kubiak. Obviously, he got me a Super Bowl ring. And obviously, he's having a tremendous success out there with the Vikings. But it was the right decision for Vic Fangio to not have Gary Kubiak hovering over him.
But no coach wants to ever look over their shoulders. As players, we have to look over our shoulders because there's a depth chart. But in this case, like Tyler's breaking down, you have a guy who won the last Super Bowl here. You're coming in as a defensive coordinator, not head coach, and he's your offensive coordinator. So when something goes wrong on the field, the players have an issue because they don't know you that well, they're going to go back to Gary Kubiak. You cannot have that in a new culture you're trying to create. And no one likes anything to be forced on. When I was a kid, I hated split peas. I hate it. And I hate it when they try to feed it to me. Probably why I don't like asparagus right now. So don't try to force feed me something. So I get the idea of not having Gary Kubiak as your offensive coordinator because those are the things that you would have to worry about.
I think you guys are making some assumptions here, though.
What assumption?
I think you're assuming that Fangio actually rejected Kubiak. I think it may be Kubiak turned it down.
Well, that could be.
Because the Perriani and Dennison.
No, actually, man, if you think back on Fangio's opening presser, he made it very clear when they asked him about Gary Kubiak. He said, well, we are going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we're going to talk. Now, unless Kubiak had already given him some reason for Fangio to doubt that he would not come here, Fangio made it obvious to everybody that was not his coordinator just yet.
Well, it's the week of Kubiak, and we will be celebrating all this week. He was the last coach to bring the Broncos a Super Bowl championship. I mean, that did happen. And where would they be if Gary was here? Well, we'll get into that coming up in about 20 minutes. When we come back, though, the Taylor Lewan confessional. Wow. What a moment. And should Garrett Bowles be taking notes? That's next.
It's a Reaction Monday, presented by First Bank. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis, Nick Ferguson, and D-Mac.
We'll get into Taylor Lewan here in just a second, but just on a quick personal note, and you guys, well, I think you've gone through the process. I would assume you have, both of you guys. My son took his official recruiting visit, and he already committed to play baseball at University of Northern Colorado. And I tell you what, man, that was so cool. And I don't know what it was like for you guys when you went on visits, that sort of thing, but it's not like we had a lot of schools, you know, jumping up to grab them.
That was a proud father moment for you.
Oh, dude, it was awesome.
Did you have that moment like, that's my boy?
Yeah, oh, many of them, you know, throughout the course of the weekend. And the coaching staff at Northern Colorado could not be nicer. They could not have treated us better. And there were four recruits commits on the trip, and they were four great kids and four great families. And it was just, it was a thrill. And I don't know how well you guys remember it.
But extremely well.
But I'm thinking that's something that you keep for the rest of your life, right?
Yeah, I brought my dad on my trips, and it was an incredible father-son experience. You know, I would assume your son, much like myself, you went to, like, all the official parts of the visit, and then he kind of had his time at night, right?
He did. He stayed with the baseball freshmen in a dorm. All the freshmen stay in dorms, but only the freshmen do. And then the second night, he still stayed in the dorm, but there was a house party where the entire...
Two nights? We're on trips 2 nights.
Well...
I feel like there were only one.
Well, we were on there for two.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nick, were they two?
Well, you know what? I really can't say because I didn't get an opportunity to partake in those type of festivities.
Really?
You never had an official visit?
Not like that.
Wow.
Really?
No, never.
Well, wait a second. How did you end up at Morris Brown then?
Well, I went there on that kind of academic scholarship.
So you were already there?
Yeah, I was at Morris Brown on academic scholarship. Started playing football, then realized that...
How did you get to the football
field?
Did
you play in high school?
Yes, I played in high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But that high school situation, you know, the whole thing with test scores and that whole nine. But, yes, I was there, and the way that I got there is the normal way that college students enter a college. You apply, you get accepted, and
so how did you get
there.
The coach's attention?
Well, when I first was there at Morris Brown College, I was working with the athletic department, right? And then I walked on to their football team. And then it was after my first year of walking on that I felt as though I was way more talented than the program actually gave me credit for. And then I transferred to Georgia Tech.
You did the Rudy thing then.
Absolutely.
You were Mr. Rudy on that one.
Absolutely.
So wait,
incredible.
Yeah.
You don't get a recruiting official visit when you're transferring schools then?
No, the only official visit was me walking over
to the football office
or bumming rides to Georgia Tech to figure things out so I can transfer. That was it.
Mm.
It's a very unique story.
Well, to your credit, that's a persistence paid off, obviously. Yeah.
But good job by your son, man. That's awesome.
It was so cool, and we're very, very lucky, and excited to go Go Bears. And there's only two D1 baseball schools in the state. That's Air Force and UNC. And my kid was not going to Air Force. That's a, that is a different on Veterans Day.
Did
here.
Get that letter of recommendation?
No.
You couldn't bribe someone?
It's a different path, let me tell you. So
here's a question, D-Mac. Most parents, when they have their kids and they go to school for the first time when they're like 3 or 4, they have that moment where they stand at the door and they just kind of cry. When your son officially goes off to school, and this is your last son going off to school,
yeah,
what's that moment going to be like for you?
Well, I don't think it's going to be as bad because he's going to be in Greeley. He's going to, I mean, it's these, the other families visiting were from Oklahoma, Texas, and California. I mean, a much bigger, you know, trip and transportation. We just rolled up there, man. I mean, it's only an hour and 10 minutes and rolled home. I think it'll be a little bit of a deal, but I don't think it'll be nearly the same. I cried like a baby when my older son got on a plane.
Mm. Oh, so you love him more?
No, I don't love him more.
That's what it sounds like, because you say you're not going to cry, really.
I mean,
when you're,
listen, oh, that, you're, oh, when you man, went to, when you went to see awkward. You were driving 40 minutes to college.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I mean, if you love it, we all have a favorite. It's okay.
Oh, you're too funny. All right, let's get on to...
got out of that one quick, yeah. Didn't you?
Taylor wow. Lewan. Let's listen to Taylor Lewan. And by the way, so they win the game. Right? And catch me up. How bad was he? Was it really like... You know, we'd have to look it up. But how about this mea culpa by the tackle of the Titans?
Before we even start this whole thing, my penalties are a problem. I am 100% an issue with that. It's not intentional. I do not mean to do it. My intentions are good. I'm just trying to finish. And it's killing the team. And I know that. You guys need to know that. No one needs to call me out or anything because I got it, boys. I am completely screwing the team with the amount of penalties I've had in these last, what, 6 games? It's crazy. It's horrible. I cannot get penalties. I'm sorry. There's no need to ask about it because I know I'm an absolute liability when it comes to penalties.
Wow.
Yeah. So he had 3 penalties in the game, and it sounds like a very similar situation to what we've seen many times here, in which he had an unnecessary roughness, and then the next play he got called for holding, and then he had another one later in the game. But he had back-to-back penalties and 3-in-1 game. You know, what does this mean? Like, am I going to sit here and praise him that he went up there and had accountability? Well,
absolutely.
Yeah, there is a part of me that wants to, but I think that part of me is mostly just, it's kind of like I'm having flashbacks to our situation, and I was so frustrated by the lack of accountability. Every single time 72 gets called for a holding penalty and I see his hands in the air, I throw my hands in the air, and then I throw my remote against the wall, and I'm thinking to myself, man, if you're throwing your hands in the air, that means you don't understand. And if you don't understand that you can't put your arm around the guy's neck, well, then that's a bigger problem, right? So I think for the most part, we heard this, and it just catches our attention because we heard accountability.
It's funny you say that, because I'm sitting over here thinking, throw your hands in the air and slam your remote like you just don't care.
Yeah, wave them like you just don't care. honestly, that's great, Nick. I mean, and I'm not even kidding like that, but that's a huge part of what frustrates me. When you throw your hands in the air like that after a penalty, it does sort of mean, like, I don't care that I got it. It's your fault that you threw that flag. It's not my fault.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it says. It's hey, look at me. I did something wrong. But I love Taylor Lewan's, you know, candor and ability to just say up front, before we start anything, let me go ahead and tell you
that's
about
hysterical.
Me. Yes, he started to interview himself.
Hey nerds, let me just straighten you all out, okay?
Let me do your job for you.
I got you nerd one, you nerd two. Okay, I get it. You don't have to ask me about it. Meanwhile, for some comparison though.
Yeah.
Here is Garrett Bowles after getting 4 holding calls.
I mean, it's frustrating. You know, I built a reputation for myself in this league of holding, and, you know, I disagree with it, to be honest. There's some calls I disagree with, and there's some things that I understand. You know, I have to go back and watch the film and see what I can do, but I have the best O-line coach in the National Football League with Coach Munchak. I'm grateful for him. I know he's going to get me on the right path.
Teach me what a hold is.
Believe in me. I know my teammates believe in me. I know my coaches believe in me. I know the front office believes in me. I'm going to turn this around. I promise you all that. Promise. around the country that. I promise my teammates that. You know, it's just unfortunately that they keep coming after me, but it is what it is.
Oh, they're coming after you.
I disagree with some of them.
He was close.
I got to move forward and get.
You know, he was close to taking accountability there. Listen to this just for a second.
Around the country that. I promise my teammates that. You know, it's just unfortunately that.
Right. He's taking accountability. You know, my teammates this, my teammates that.
He already said he disagreed with it.
They keep coming after me, but it is what it is.
They keep coming after me.
Wow. I mean, that's a victim. That's a victim mentality. Yes. Totally a victim mentality.
Meanwhile, Taylor Lewan.
Before we even start this whole thing, my penalties are a problem. I am 100% an issue with that. It's not intentional. I do not mean to do it. My intentions are good. I'm just trying to finish.
You have to respect that.
Oh, yeah.
Damn straight. I do. But you know another guy that I respect? And I know, D-Mac, you've worked with him many times. Nick, I don't know if you ever have, but Chad Brown, a great friend of the program over here and obviously knows his stuff. He has a little bit of a different take on it. His tweet, he retweeted it and he wrote, "The reality is that this is such bull crap. Doesn't accountability come with actions to make it better? He has been doing the same things for years, so he falls on the sword in front of the media. He's pretending to be accountable so he doesn't have to answer the questions. Hashtag don't buy it." Okay. Well, I legitimately respect Chad Brown tremendously. I guess I would just say I get it. Actions do speak louder than words, but sometimes I'd like to hear people acknowledge your flaws.
I tell you this, if you want to shut down a conversation or questions, just do what Taylor Lewan did. That'll end that. What am I supposed to do? You know, you just came out with this huge, like, rip on yourself.
Yep.
How are you exactly supposed to follow that up? You can't. It's over.
But this is the first time that he has openly come out and criticized himself. So, Chad Brown, I know him, I like him, but we have to give players the ability to say, well, I did something wrong, because that is always the first step before you correct anything. Almost an admission of guilt.
Yeah, at the end of the day, though, Chad is right. We want to see change, right? And that's all that we really want at the end of the day is change.
So what's better, what Bull said or what Lewan said?
Of course what Lewan said.
Oh.
Hands down, that's not even debatable.
When we come back, Gary Kubiak, both you guys have relationships with Gary Kubiak, so does Broncos, obviously, Broncos fans, in terms of winning a Super Bowl. It's Gary Kubiak week, day one. And to celebrate that, we're giving you tickets to Loveland. That's a harsh segue. It really doesn't even correlate. But how about this? Caller 4 right now at 303-713-1043 gets a 4-pack to Loveland. And you can purchase your own Loveland 4-pack at SkiLoveland.com. Loveland 4-packs have no restrictions, no blackout dates, and completely transferable. But they're only available until November 24th. Fourth caller, 303-713-1043. You're winning a Loveland 4-pack. Gary Kubiak week, day one, kicks off next.
It's a Reaction Monday, presented by First Bank. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis, Nick Ferguson, and D-Mac. Gary Kubiak week. Day one.
Mike, Troy, Leggy, Nikki, I have great respect for you and how hard you work at what you do. So I wanted to mention you guys.
Thank you to him. Cousins rolling, and then he throws. And Rudolph, can he one-hand it? Yes! Touchdown! Oh. Hook is there. Instead, it's another pass, and this is caught by Rudolph for the touchdown. Cousins off the play fake will throw, and it's Rudolph. Two more points for him.
Can you play that again for me, Richie?
Was that Gary giving shout-outs to reporters?
Yeah, Everybody. Everybody in Denver, actually.
Go ahead, do that again.
Sounded like it.
Gary Kubiak week, day one.
Mike, Troy, Leggy, Nikki, I have great respect for you and how hard you work and what you do, so I wanted to mention you guys.
Yeah.
So, all the good ones. Anybody who's anybody.
Why was it you? I mean, your name did not come up.
Oh, he knew who I was. Trust me.
Do you have some beef with Kubiak we don't know about?
No, not personally. But I know that he wasn't. I know for a fact he said, "What's the deal with that guy?" one time about me. And I did ask Gary Kubiak when the Broncos were 4-0 in 2015, but Peyton was not playing well. I did ask him, has he had any thoughts about resting Peyton a little bit for his own health? in playing Brock. And you would have thought I had backed over his dog or whatever. And that question actually made national news that particular cycle. In fact, Bob Ryan on ESPN called the reporter that asked that question is the dumbest person on earth right now. And my dad called me and he goes, Darren.
So disappointed in you, son.
Not at all. He was like, Bob Ryan just called you the dumbest person on earth. That is amazing. Because my dad's in Boston and Bob Ryan's a big Boston thing. So the fact that Bob Ryan was referring to me at all.
I think it was more than that, D-Mac.
No. Well, hold on.
Hold on.
So 2 days later, my dad goes to a Bob Ryan book signing and has Bob Ryan sign a book to the dumbest reporter on earth.
No way.
And Bob Ryan.
He told him the story, I assume.
He told him the story. Bob Ryan signed the book. I have it to this day.
Did he write you a note?
He wrote me a note.
What'd he say?
He said, stop asking such dumb questions. So that's that story. I thought it was kind of cool because I grew up like idolizing Bob Ryan. He was one of my sort of guys.
Who all made that list? It was Nikki,
Troy,
Mike,
Leggy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then D-Mac.
I didn't have that relationship.
You don't think Mike or Leggy or Nikki ever asked a question that offended him?
I think they just had a deeper relationship with him that went back longer. And you know what? In all honesty, I had a great relationship with John Fox. Still do. Reach out to the coach every now and then just to see how he's doing, that sort of thing. John Fox used to spend the media is allowed to watch the first 15 minutes of practice. John Fox would come over and talk to us almost every day, except the Super Bowl week or like leading up to it. He got all ants in his pants. He got all uptight. This is Super Bowl 48. But we love the fact that Foxy would come over and chat. And sometimes we talk about football. Sometimes we talk about, whatever. Me and Foxy our kids were around the same age. He had a teenage daughter, same age as my teenage son. And I don't know, we just had a good relationship. And then you'd go in for the press conferences and you had to be professional. And that's when Foxy would, skins on the wall and he wouldn't say anything. But during those 15 minutes, you would get a much better impression as to what really was going on and how he felt about things. And it was terrific. But you had to kind of earn trust in that circle, which meant you had to, go out to Broncos practice every day. So it was an easy sell to go out there. Plus, you got to watch Peyton Manning. Kubiak was different. Kubiak just did not. He never, in the time that he was head coach at least, never once came over to socialize with the reporters before practice. Never did it. Fangio doesn't do it. McDaniels didn't do it.
Fox was rare.
Fox was unique.
Not many coaches will do that.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was weird, though. I did see Kubiak. He would walk over there, and he would talk to the media. He would just walk. He would walk very slowly, and he'd kind of look you in the eye, and then he'd look at you, and then he'd move on over to Nikki and Troy and Mike, and then he'd talk to them.
Yeah, I mean, it was jealous, and everybody has their own way of doing things, but I didn't hold anything against Coach Kubiak for those reasons.
But D-Mac, let me ask this question.
Yeah.
Should I call Coach Kubiak and in the off season set something up where you and Koops have a sit down?
No. We're not like that at all. That's fine. You don't have to bother with anything
that.
I respect Gary for sure. I definitely made comments about how he dyes his hair, which I thought was kind of funny. And to me, the deeper thing about dyeing your hair
to his face or on the show?
On the show. Yeah, I don't. Oh. How would I say that to his face? It'd be ridiculous.
Well, somebody on the text line. It looks like you said that to his face on the text line.
No. And listen, I'm always saying it in fun. The only reason I would ever bring it up is because I think Gary Kubiak had a swagger. I think he had a confidence about himself. I think he had certainty of who he was and how he liked to be perceived. And he got his hair cut and dyed his hair. And he, when training camp started, it was on. He was very serious about it. I think it was a very deep psychological thing about him being John Elway's backup quarterback, then offensive coordinator, and then employee of John Elway, and then you had the very weird dynamic of Paxton Lynch versus Trevor Siemian. And I think you'd be a fool not to recognize that Gary Kubiak may have had an issue with the first-round guy who was no good, and you could possibly see him identifying himself with Trevor Siemian, hey, if only we would give this guy a shot, I'll show you. And certainly Gary's confidence in himself was incredibly self-evident when he comes into an interview with Vic Fangio and says, I'll take this job if Brian Perriani and Rick Dennison, who were both fired by the Broncos a year previous, can be rehired here. And I think that's why it didn't happen, because Gary was trying to really take over things. But that's consistent as to who he was. It's not a bad thing as who he is.
Do you think during that Super Bowl year when you guys won, Tyler, and knowing the history between Kubiak and John Elway, the way that D-Mac just laid out, him being a backup for John Elway, now you're the head coach, you win the title, even though John carried the title of vice president of operation, but I did something with this team. If you think about it from Kubiak's perspective, as a head coach that Elway probably wouldn't be able to do if he assumed the responsibility of being a head coach.
I think it's a complicated relationship.
I think it is a complicated relationship, but I absolutely think that they're friends.
Yeah, I do too.
It is. I can't connect the dots on the whole Paxton Lynch situation, because without a doubt, when he did not play Paxton Lynch against Oakland, that was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. There was no explanation for it. There was no reason not to play him. You weren't playing for anything. And you were told. I mean, he was told to play Paxton Lynch in that game. That was weird. And I was convinced at the moment that that relationship was tarnished. And
I was too.
And it cannot be recovered. But I was wrong.
Yeah.
And look, Gary Kubiak could have found employment anywhere. He could have found employment in college. He could have found employment in the NFL. He could have been a head coach. He could have been an offensive coordinator. Or he could have gone into personnel just like he did with Denver Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
But he chose to come back to work here with John Elway. So whatever the relationship is, it is much more complicated than anybody could acknowledge.
Yeah.
There is a deep-rooted respect in that relationship as well. Was there tension? Probably. But there has to have been respect for him to come back.
All right. So, questions. You guys both know Gary. You both played for Gary, right?
Yeah.
And as a head coach in Houston, and then as a, well, he was an offense coordinator, and you were on the Broncos, right? And Gary, what kind of role did he have with you?
He's the head coach. What do you mean?
Well, how involved was Gary with you coming back here for Super Bowl 50?
I think very involved. I guess I don't really know exactly, but I do know that there were multiple times in my career in which my agent called me and said that Gary was trying to trade for me in Houston.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so twice in my career, I thought I was going to be moving to Houston. The trades never went through. But I know that there had been some mutual respect there for a long time. And so when he brought me back, it made a lot of sense.
All right, let me ask you guys some tricky questions then. Would Gary, if he had been here, and he'd only been here if Perriani and Dennison were also here. So Mike Munchak, I would assume Dennison would have been the offensive line coach. It wouldn't have been Munchak. Do you think I'm right about that?
I don't know. During the Super Bowl, Dennison was just our OC. So he could have just been the OC.
Okay, fair enough.
And Kubiak could have been in the
correct
bizarre role that he is with the Minnesota Vikings right now.
Right. Would the Broncos be better off right now? Or would things be better, same, or worse with Kubiak here?
Well, and what type of capacity are you
same
talking
on
about?
The field?
Like he'd be an offensive consultant who wears headphones. He's up in the box. Somebody else would have been the more functional offensive coordinator.
He's bizarre, just like Minnesota.
But don't forget, Dennison was technically the offensive coordinator here, even though Gary was calling all the plays.
Yeah.
So you're asking whether the team would be better off?
Better, same, worse.
We would be better. We'd be better. Yeah.
We'd be better.
Yes, yeah. Yes, without a doubt. Because, look, Elway clearly was committed to going to the West Coast offense. Whether Kubiak was supposed to be the offensive coordinator or not, and Fangio said no, or Kubiak walked away, regardless, there was a commitment from John Elway to going to this offense that we have right now. The Mike Shanahan offense, that Gary Kubiak learned from Mike Shanahan, that Kyle Shanahan learned from Mike Shanahan, that Rich Scangarello learned from Kyle Shanahan, okay? We're right back here with Rich Scangarello, and you could have had the guy that is doing the mentoring to other people, but instead we got the mentoree, right? And instead we got the protege. So without a doubt, we would be better off. Would we be radically different? At the end of the day, no, because the quarterback situation would not be any different. And matter of fact, there's some weird parallels going on right now with Brandon Allen, Trevor Siemian, Drew Lock, Paxton Lynch, that I look at it and I say, if Gary Kubiak were here right now, well, Brandon Allen would be his guy.
Right. I was just going to go there because he would have technically been hired in January. So he would have been here for the draft process. Kubiak would have been. Would Drew Lock have been drafted?
No.
Why?
He wouldn't have been drafted because, once again, it's the same reason why I believe Scangarello and John Elway are having the issues with Drew Lock right now. He doesn't really, they don't view him as fitting into what they really want to do with this scheme. And just like we say, well, you look at Trevor Siemian. Why was Gary Kubiak high on Trevor Siemian? Because he felt as though he possessed all the skill set to run an offense that both he and John were quite familiar with. You bring in a guy like Paxton Lynch, he brings in another skill set. And to further this point, I go back to where Tyler was when he was with the Washington Redskins. It's the same reason that Kyle Shanahan and Mike Shanahan decided to draft Kirk Cousins in the same year that RG3 was taking, you know, as a top draft pick, because the offense better suits, or they know how to fit that offense to a guy like Kirk Cousins' skill set opposed to a guy like RG3. And to boot, is one of those same reasons why when we look at quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson and say, well, okay, well, why, you know, John Elway didn't take a guy like that, or Colin Kaepernick, or Russell Wilson? Because these guys possess a skill set that they are not used to.
I was told that Gary Kubiak's guy a couple years ago in the draft was not Bradley Chubb. It wasn't a quarterback either. It was Quentin Nelson.
Don't say that to me.
The Vikings drafted Garrett Bradbury, their starting center.
They drafted three O-linemen, by the way.
This year. So if Gary Kubiak wasn't going to take Drew Lock, it's hard to imagine he would have taken Noah Fant. Do you think?
I disagree. I think Drew Lock would be on this football team. Now,
really?
I do not disagree with what you said, Nick. Really, with much of any of it.
Hold on. Would Gary Kubiak want Drew Lock on his team?
So that's the question.
Oh, okay.
Probably not, but he didn't want Paxton Lynch either. And I'm becoming more and more convinced by the day that Vic Fangio never really wanted Drew Lock. It was clearly an Elway selection. And if John Elway selected Paxton Lynch, well, Gary Kubiak was the coach then, so certainly he could select Drew Lock right now.
Okay.
Even if Gary Kubiak was in control.
You're saying no matter what, John Elway is John Elway, and you can only do so much to control him.
Well,
he's going to make his own mind up.
I'm saying no matter what, John Elway was going to select the quarterback that he wanted to select.
But it shouldn't be lost on anybody that the Vikings, drafting just ahead of the Broncos, drafted a center in the first round in Garrett Bradbury. They were focused on offensive line. They already had the quarterback, right? And so they were adding pieces around him. Now, it's taking a little bit for things to click, but things are clicking now. They looked all right last night. And we'll preview the Vikings and the impact of Kubiak as the week goes on. It's KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. Well, we're back, and so is Drew Lock, starting tomorrow. I guess the players have the day off today, too, huh?
Fangio is a weird schedule. In any normal world, a normal coach, players would come back from the bye week, practice on Monday, take Tuesday, their normal day off,
right,
as usual, and then come back to work on Wednesday. Not with this team, though.
The Broncos have had for players, an extraordinary amount of time off for their bye week, haven't they?
A very surprising amount. I know everyone was really happy about the outcome against the Cleveland Browns going into the bye week, and they wanted to, you know, celebrate. You give the guys something to come back, re-energize. But to give them this amount of time off, you would think
it's a lot, don't you think?
I mean, you would think that the record would be better than what it is.
Okay.
But it's not.
I saw a couple things over the bye week. First of all, happy 23rd birthday to Drew Lock. His dad, Andy, wished him a happy birthday, and he caught a fish.
There you go. Cute. Was it big?
It was a pretty big fish.
Yeah.
I can show it to you.
Have you ever caught a fish, D-Mac?
I have not.
Have you ever been fishing before?
Have you ever cut a tree down? I have cut a tree down.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Have you ever patched a hole in the wall?
I have patched a hole in the wall. Not good, though.
How'd it come out?
No, it was totally.
Did you hire somebody to fix it?
No, we just sort of painted over. when I owned my first house, when I first moved here in 1999, we were so broke. So, no, I chopped down a tree.
Ever started a fire with your bare hands?
No, I've not done that.
First of all, I'm thinking, how do you start a fire with your bare hands?
You go all Survivor. You're like, you know, I mean, I've seen it done on TV a million
times.
Two
sticks.
Sure.
You know, like this in your hands.
I'm thinking maybe
you rub
them
together really fast. It creates friction.
Yeah.
You put some dry needles underneath it.
Well, see, that's not really with your bare, that's not with your bare hands.
Yeah.
You're using a tool, an instrument.
Go on to Tinder, and then you start the fire.
The bare hands is like.
I mean, use Tinder. Use Tinder. Use Tinder.
At first, I'm thinking that maybe you have real, well, calloused hands. And you're rubbing them together, and because they're so rough, they create a spark. That's what I was thinking when you said, hey, have you ever created fire with your bare hands?
All right, Mr. Man, here's the fish. I'll tweet it out at DMAC1043. You tell me, Mr. Colorado, there's the fish that Drew Locke caught. What is it?
That's trout. Yeah, something like that.
You don't know. I don't know. You don't know. That's not a trout.
Let me see.
There's no
look at that
way
thing.
That's a trout.
Yeah, I really don't know fish, D-Mac.
That is a huge. That trout are small.
No, I'm making fun of you. You're not making fun of me.
Too late. You just outed yourself.
You're missing the point. This is about you.
I bet that's bass.
That's a bass.
Because look, he's in a river or something. He's not on a I don't know if that's.
And besides, that fish looks like one of those fish you put on a wall that sings all the time. That's what it looks like. And that's a bass.
I just got a text from a buddy that, man, I wish I would have said it. It would have been so perfect. You ever spent time in a Turkish prison?
Timing is everything.
Thank you.
All right. At DMAC1043, I'm tweeting out the picture of Drew Locke and the fish. And you can tweet or text. People may know what the fish is. I don't know.
It's a bass.
It does look like a bass. It makes sense that's a bass.
It's not a yellowfin tuna.
No. He's not off the coast of Japan.
Exactly.
Right. Long polling. That actually makes sense.
Yes.
You see, you don't know. You haven't watched Discovery enough. All right. Here is Vic Fangio on Drew Locke's status.
He's going to start practicing.
Right. How many reps?
We'll try and get him as many as we can. You know, some of that will be scout team, too. And remember, this guy hadn't taken a snap and been in a huddle since the middle of August or early August.
Coach, you said that you have to see if Drew can progress as a quarterback. He'll start practicing. Will you adjust practices to give him a more a better chance to do that than you normally would?
Possibly. But, you know, it's late in the year, and at this time of the year, if you're doing anything, you're cutting back reps a little bit. Now, we're going to practice tomorrow, which is an extra day for this week. It won't be a full-blown practice, but we'll be out there and get about 25 or 26 snaps of offense, defense, and so that will be another opportunity.
Do you remember what was going on in training camp during the decision?
Yes, very much so.
Set the scene. With Paxton Lynch in particular.
Well, I'm not
maybe you don't know where I was going. Where I was
but
going
I remember it.
Is that Gary Kubiak did something very unusual. During training camp, the ones would be going on one field. So the starting offense would be going on one field against the defense. And then Paxton Lynch would have his own little practice going on a separate field.
Yeah, okay? Makes sense.
So two fields going on at one time, right? That doesn't happen. Coaches do not spend their time away from half of their unit. And do you remember where Gary Kubiak was during that? Well, the answer is he was with Paxton Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to make that work with Paxton Lynch. He was creating opportunities during a time in which traditionally, historically speaking, there is no time to give to your third team quarterback. Right?
Here's what I definitely remember. Super Bowl 50 year. Peyton Manning was hurt. And came back, and as he was coming back, he would go into the field house.
The Jordan Taylor.
And he would have the Jordan Taylor workouts. And they would go through everything. Jordan Taylor must have been exhausted. And, I mean, I get it. It's not against the pass rush, right? It's against air.
Yeah.
But still, he's making throws. He's working the plays. He's going through calls, and he was doing it with coaches.
So I thought that was a shockingly intelligent question by yourself. It honestly was, because you just got him to tell you, do you have a plan to develop him or not, right? And you know what the plan is? Hey, Drew Locke, good luck with the two opportunities that you get. You have to impress me with the two opportunities.
Isn't that ridiculous?
If there was a plan, he would have told you, yes. Good question, D-Mac, and the answer to that is yes. I am going to ensure that he either gets three reps per period, man, or we are going to have periods entirely dedicated only to Drew Locke.
Well, I wonder, listening to the whole idea and seeing the video with Jordan Taylor and Peyton Manning, could Drew Locke essentially do that himself? After practice, go indoors, grab Deshaun Hamilton or Deontay Spencer, take the script, and go over the plays.
That is a really good question, because I don't know what the limitations of the CBA are in terms of practice.
Wait, in terms of what in particular? What do you mean?
Like doing just what Nick said.
Doing exactly what Peyton did.
Practice is done.
So,
and now, because he didn't get enough, he's going to take three or four practice squad guys.
There is no limit to the amount of time you can spend on the field, to my knowledge.
Oh, I think there is.
There is, like, with the walkthrough period, if you're going to have a walkthrough earlier in the day. But when you're actually on the field, I believe you could practice for 4 hours if you wanted to. I know that Josh McDaniels, and this was the old CBA, so it might have changed. Mm-hmm. But we used to have the, what did we call it? It was some embarrassing, it would embarrass you. You know, it was the you suck bowl after practice. And anybody that did not practice, there would be another practice for you after, and we would have another 20 to 30 plays, which we would practice for the guys that didn't get reps.
Well, in San Francisco, we had what we call the gold mine. Right, where we would take the young players who didn't practice a lot or guys who were injured, and we would take them after practice, and they would give us a certain amount of time to work with those guys. But there would still be, you know, guys would come in on their off day and actually work and go through certain things. So Drew Locke, in essence, could get some extra work after practice. He could come in on an off day and, quote-unquote, be a professional and start working on his craft himself, because you're not an amateur anymore. You don't need a coach to hold
your hand. Okay, fair enough. I mean, nobody was stopping Drew Locke from going out to Smoky Hill High School. They got a beautiful new turf field. You know,
actually, there is. He could do it, but he would have to do it with high schoolers or somebody that is outside the building.
Okay.
He couldn't take his own guys. This is all right. I'm saying.
Take high schoolers.
That's fine.
But my guy Chase Lyons, he'd run around and catch some passes for him every day. Obisani, I can go through a list of Smoky Hill High School football players.
They'd love to.
Yeah, take it on Columbine Thursday, by the way.
And how many times have we seen, you know, Peyton Manning do that? And we've seen other guys throw with high school players.
I mean, there was kind of the legendary Brian Dawkins workouts during the season.
Never. Never. Not once.
Well, guys in the off days certainly go to McChesney's, go to the dungeon. And get work in there.
Well, that's true.
I can't account for quarterbacks necessarily, but I know players have worked out with Matt, that's for sure. But still, I know Garrett Bowles hasn't.
But it still is an opportunity on an off day, even if you don't do it at the facility. You could do it at some field near where you live, take the script, and run through the plays.
He's been healthy. He could have been doing that. If Drew Locke wanted to do that, he could have been doing that for weeks. If he wanted to.
But doesn't that tell you something about him if he's not doing it?
I don't know if he has or he hasn't. So I think it's unfair for us. I think it's a good question. I think it's a legit question. Hey, Drew, during the bye week, did you get together with, I don't know. I don't even know where he's from. Oh, by the way, Striped Bass. I mean, I'm seriously getting like 10,000 messages that it's Striped Bass. I mean, a million messages.
Specifically a wiper.
A wiper?
And that's a type of Striped Bass?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Striped Bass.
Get your head out of the gutter.
Taylor just perked up. Are you a Fisher dude? Yeah. Striped Bass? Wiper?
Wiper.
Okay.
No. No.
What are you eating? Oh, you're drinking something. Okay.
He's disposing of his sunflower seeds.
Say that again. You're spitting sunflower seeds? Is this a new thing for you, Richie, with the sunflower seeds? What's the deal?
I do love sunflower seeds.
Okay.
Are these seasoned sunflower seeds, like Cool Ranch?
So wait. What is the what is the def? It's a striped bass, which is known as a wiper.
No. I believe a wiper and a striped bass are two different fish.
Don't shake your head. Now,
He just said it wasn't
a variation.
Wiper.
Bueller?
Yeah.
What does that mean then?
It's not
the same thing.
Just trust me. Is it the same thing or not? It's a variation, you know.
What do you mean a variation?
Like, there's different ethnicities, right?
Of bass?
Correct.
And that's based on a body of water that you catch them in?
I'm making this all up on the spot.
Oh, my God! Okay, it's happening. No. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Calm!
Wait.
Calm down!
Troy Rank will join us here in just a little bit. I want to get to the, to Chase Young? His story is ridiculous.
Man.
It is so stupid.
Could you imagine if that happens to your son who's on his way to college? Just think about that.
I would be, as a parent, I'd be very upset. I mean, Chase Young may be the first non-quarterback taken in the draft. And, we'll get into this Chase Young story. It's ridiculous. But joining us now on the RamosLaw.com on the hotline is our Denver 7 Broncos insider, Troy Rank, brought to you courtesy of Tranny Law. Hi, Troy. How are you?
Doing fantastic. D-Mac, how are you?
I'm doing all right. A lot of interesting stuff from today. What caught your attention out at Dove Valley?
Well, Vic Fangio has not given up on winning this season. If they had, it would be easy to just say, Drew Lock's going to practice. He's going to be the backup this week. He's going to play at some point in December. But their reluctance to say that tells you, as a first-year coach, he's not about to concede the idea of winning until he knows they're out of it. So that's why when people have asked me, you asked what's interesting about it, 8 losses is the magic number for me when we could see Drew Lock. Now, he has to be ready. He has to do his part. But once you get to 8 losses, you're out of it. I mean, you can't reason that you have a chance. But until they get to that point, that's why they keep slow playing this. And, you know, if Brandon Allen plays well, and, you know, the hypotheticals, well, if he goes 2-0, obviously they're not benching him. If he goes 1-1, I'm not sure they bench him. But at some point, you've got to see Drew Lock this season to know what you have going into the offseason in the draft.
I guess the magic number being 8, I don't know. It kind of bothers me a little bit, or I guess I just don't understand it would be a better way to put it. I mean, the percentages on making the playoffs right now is like 1.4. What does the number 8 have to do with anything?
Well, you're out of it at 8-8. You're not getting in. And to it, you could rationalize it. Listen, I'm with you, Tyler, that I don't think anyone could watch this team. And while they've made progress, and I see it as a rebuilding year. So when I look at this team through the prism, which I view it, it's been an encouraging season. Their defense has been much improved. They're a more disciplined team overall. They're better coached. So if you see it as a rebuilding season, to me, there's a lot of encouraging signs. If you thought they were going to the playoffs this year, then it's disappointing. So in their mind, again, they've been on that parallel track of playoffs, playoffs, playoffs. Now you're kind of out of it, sort of out of it, but it playing Drew Lock while you've got 6 losses, which he's not ready yet, but would be an admission that you're out of it. And they're not ready to do that. I mean, that's really, this is Vic Fangio for me too, just saying, until we're out of it, I'm not going to play the kid just for the purpose of development. And at some point, they have to just make sure they're all in the same lane with this. If that's 4 starts, if that's 3, whatever it is, you need to learn from the Paxton Lynch situation. And this kid for me is way better than Paxton, but you got to learn from it. You got to have a plan for that last month so you get the most look out of him and get a better read on him.
Do you think they have a plan? I mean, is the plan written in stone, or are they figuring it out?
The plan is not written in stone. It's more Etch-a-Sketch, and they shake it. It changes.
Yeah.
The plan is Brandon Allen's the guy who's starting right now. And if he keeps winning, he's going to keep playing. They're not benching a guy who's winning games for him. That's just not going to happen. Whether it should is a fair discussion. And again, if it were me, I would have labeled this as a rebuilding season. So every move you make is with the idea of developing young players, and you sacrifice seasons to develop young players. The NFL rarely does that. We're seeing 2 or 3 teams doing it this year. But the point is, it's not episode. I asked Vic that. I said, is part of the issue that you only have 6 losses, you're still in it? And he's like, listen, I want to go 4-6. That's my only worry. We're trying to win football games, And when coaches say that, you know, Tyler and Nick, that means we're playing the guys who give us the best chance to win. Drew Lock right now wouldn't be that. But to me, that doesn't matter when December rolls around. You have to find out what you have in him. As long as he's obviously put in the work and done, you know, done his thing in practice, you got to play him at some point in December, whether that's four starts or three or two, whatever it is, you've got to see him.
Troy, are they doing themselves a disservice with the whole idea of 4-6, that is our number that we're trying to get to, instead of just going ahead and say, well, this season is a wash, we might as well go ahead and go full in on 2020?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because normally I would say yes, that they are doing themselves a disservice. The issue, though, Nick, would be, other than Drew Locke, who are they holding back? Then you could argue, well, it's quarterback, so that's the equivalent of five positions, but they're not really preventing any other young guys from playing. So I can't sit here and say, man, this doesn't make sense. They got all these young guys who are, you know, would be the equivalent of AAA stars, and they should be called up. Pretty much every good young player they have is playing. The only issue is quarterback. Had Drew Locke not gotten hurt in training camp, I have no doubt he would be playing right now. But Vic Fangio, you guys know him. He's been around the game for almost five decades. He's not going to play a guy who hasn't practiced since mid-August. That's not Vic Fangio. It's not a lot of coaches, but it's certainly not him. So is it a disservice? I think it would be if by the end of the year, unless Brandon Allen, you know, has this Tim Tebow-type run, It would be a disservice not to start Drew Locke at least two or three games.
You know, I think all of us are basically on the same page. The page is just a little bit different, it seems, than what the Broncos are on. We all actually are supportive of Drew Locke, to be honest with you. Every conversation is basically us saying, get Drew Locke on the field. Let's see what he got, right? I mean, we're all saying that to one degree or
pretty
another.
Much.
And so I hope it doesn't come across as if we're bashing him, Troy. I hope it comes across as we want to see him. And
that's my social media, Twitter, Facebook. I mean, any mention of him, you know, blows up because people want to see him. And the clock they're working on is how soon is now? They want it yesterday. And that's, I understand. The problem is he hasn't practiced. And in fairness to Locke, the last thing you want to do is put a guy out there after three practices and go face the Vikings on the road and then the Bills. That is setting someone up to fail.
Let him
practice, and then by that Chargers game on December 1st, in theory, he should be ready to start an NFL game.
I would agree with you, and that to me seems like the perfect opponent in the perfect place at the perfect time, considering everything else. And the longer the Broncos drag this out, by the way, fellas, the longer people are looking at Joe Burrow or Tua Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert. You know what I mean? And all we have to compare Drew Locke to is his college film compared to these guys' college film. And that's a tough spot for Drew Locke. Give him a shot. Get him out there. And I think today and this week is a step in the right direction. But Troy, if he is not on the roster and not starting against the Chargers, man, I won't understand it unless Brandon Allen, fellas, I mean, lights it up, I guess, right? And they beat Minnesota and they beat Buffalo. But anything besides that, we should be seeing
Drew
Locke.
That's the issue. And the other issue, though, that, you know, and I'm root for the Brandon Allen story, the story in general. I mean, it's a fantastic goosebumps type moment. 4 years waiting, gets his chance, gets a game ball. But let's remember, he was picked up off the scrap heap.
Right.
Drew Locke was going to be the backup.
Right.
So had he been healthy when Flacco got hurt, he would be playing. It's not like they're doing him some favor that he was fourth string and they're promoting him. This is different than the Paxton Lynch situation, because Paxton, frankly, wasn't playing better than the backups when we all watched it. He honestly deserved to be third string, based on whether that was a fit or whatever. But he wasn't looking the part. Locke had won the backup job prior to his injury. So that's why I'm saying, if he gets some practice in, what are we waiting for? If they go 1-1, okay, maybe Allen gets one more start. But if Allen's completing 55% of his passes, has more picks and interceptions and three straight starts, what are we doing? You got to see Locke at that point. Right. I mean, it's nothing against Brandon Allen.
Right.
He may show he's the backup and Locke's your starter next year. But now you've got tape on both of them. I just don't. If they go into the offseason without seeing Locke, that does not make sense to me, especially once you get to eight losses and you're not a playoff team.
Troy Rank, who is proving why he shouldn't be growing facial hair on a nightly basis on TV this
month. Looks good, Troy. It looks good.
No, it doesn't, but we love you, Troy.
It does not look good. It does not look good, but it's raising a lot of money for cancer research.
And that's the most important thing. Thank you, Troy.
All right, see you guys.
Troy Rank, brought to you by Ent Tranny Law. Tranny Law. I have a new favorite person. It is Drew Locke's dad. who has responded to my question on Twitter when I said, what kind of fish was it?
Yeah.
And Andy Locke, Drew's dad, responded to me, hybrid striped bass.
Boom.
Truman Lake, Montana.
There it is.
Hybrid striped bass.
That is according to Drew Locke's dad, hybrid striped bass.
I've heard it, hybrid cars, but not a hybrid fish.
And I'm sorry, it's Missouri, not Montana. M.O. is
Missouri would make
sorry.
A little bit more sense.
Yes.
There is some sort of association there.
Listen, there's a lot of states with M in it. Missouri, Montana, I mean, really. How'd you figure it out? Missouri. Why isn't it M.I.? Mississippi.
Crooked letter, crooked letter.
Mm-hmm.
M.A.?
Some people refer
Massachusetts.
To Missouri as misery.
Who are those people?
I mean, individuals who don't love
Missouri.
It, yeah.
Okay. Some people refer to
misery.
Massachusetts as Massatoot. Never mind.
Hybrid striped bass, Truman Lake, Missouri. Is a hybrid striped bass... What do you mean, boom? You said, like, boom or something, like you were...
It's settled. Boom. There it is.
Oh, okay. Like
boom.
It's,
now we know.
Because we said it's... So it's not a wiper.
Boom. The Drew Locke's dad just let us know.
Right. It's
boom.
Not It's not a wiper.
What the heck is a wiper anyway?
Great question. Let's not answer it. When we come back, there was a moment in Baltimore that was so cool, even though it has nothing to do with the Broncos. Man, oh, man, oh, man. It's something that we wish we could see here. We'll have details about that next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.